This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Freenas, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about MarTech from calendar weeks 12 and 13. Freenas is a B2B market research company that supports enterprise marketing teams in unlocking the full potential of their customer data with the help of AI. You can find more info in the description.
It is, it's really great to be here.
Yeah, we have a massive deep dive today. I mean, imagine a piece of software that literally writes itself, lives for exactly 5 minutes to complete one, you know, highly specific operational task, and then it just completely deletes itself.
Yeah, no SaaS subscription, no integration headache.
Right, zero residual tech debt. So today, we're diving into the absolute top MarTech trends that we've been seeing buzzing across LinkedIn for B2B marketing professionals. And look, we are moving way past the fluffy buzzwords today.
Oh, definitely. We're getting into the structural shifts.
Exactly. I mean, if you're a marketing director listening to this on your commute right now, you're probably sweating over the, you know, half dozen SaaS renewals you have coming up next quarter.
And you're probably wondering if you should be renewing them at all.
Right. Because the fundamental architecture of MarTech is collapsing. AI agents are stepping in to take over not just the marketing side, but really the entire B2B buying process.
Yeah, and the underlying theme across all these insights we analyzed from the past 2 weeks is that your competitive advantage, well, it's no longer going to come from just buying another commercial off-the-shelf software tool.
Which is how we've done it for 10 years.
Exactly. The new game is entirely about data architecture, coordination, and just relentless execution discipline.
Wait, okay, so are you telling me that these enterprise companies who have spent literally millions of dollars over the last decade bolting Marketo to Salesforce to Snowflake, they're just going to throw that architecture in the trash?
Well, no, they won't throw it out overnight, but they are absolutely shifting where the center of gravity is. I mean, Scott Brinker just released this massive new report, co-created with Databricks, declaring what he calls the third age of MarTech.
The third age, okay.
Yeah. The traditional model where you have these multiple rigid layers of SaaS tools just stacked on top of each other, that's dying.
Wow.
It's being replaced by what he calls a composable canvas. And this canvas is built directly on top of a unified data foundation, like a data lakehouse.
Hold on. Before we go further, for those of us listening who aren't, you know, data engineers, what actually is a lakehouse compared to the standard CRM database we've been forcing our teams to use for a decade?
Right. Okay. So think of your traditional CRM database as a highly organized filing cabinet.
Okay.
It's great for specific structured data, but to do anything complex, you basically have to photocopy those files and mail them to 30 different departments.
And those departments are all your different SaaS tools.
Exactly. It's messy. A lakehouse is more like a massive flat reservoir that holds all your company's data in its raw form.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So instead of moving data across 30 disjointed tools, which, you know, causes immense latency and integration nightmares, the data just stays put.
Okay, let's unpack this. So instead of trying to bolt together 30 different prefab sheds in your backyard and hoping they all share plumbing, we're basically pouring one massive concrete foundation and letting AI instantly build and tear down whatever rooms we need exactly when we need them.
That is a perfect analogy. The applications, the workflows, the AI agents, they all just sit directly on top of that shared reservoir and sip the data they need in real time.
Okay, that makes sense conceptually. But what is the actual business impact of that? I know Alexander Burton and Felix Santiago were both highlighting this shift on LinkedIn recently.
They were, yeah. They pointed out that Databricks' own marketing team actually moved their lead scoring model in-house onto this exact architecture.
And what happened?
The result was a 4x jump in their conversion rates compared to the external vendor they replaced.
Wait, I have to push back on that. Why does simply moving a lead scoring model in-house onto a lakehouse quadruple conversions? I mean, is third-party software really that bad?
It's not that the third-party software is bad per se. It's about the mechanics of latency and fragmented context.
What do you mean by latency in this context?
Well, in a traditional stack, your intent data from your website sits in one tool, right?
Yeah.
Your CRM pipeline data is in another. Your email engagement is in a third. By the time all those systems sync with an external lead scoring vendor, hours or even days have passed.
Oh, wow. And the buyer's already moved on.
Exactly. On a unified data foundation, the internal lead scoring model sees every single touch point instantly, in real time. It can trigger an action the precise second a prospect shows high intent.
Which means you are catching the buyer while they are still on the pricing page, not the next day when they're eating lunch.
Exactly.
And it's not just giant tech infrastructure companies pulling this off either. I saw that Megan Eisenberg, the CMO at Samsara, is a great example here.
Oh yeah, her setup is incredible.
She is currently running 25 AI-native tools and 12 custom agentic use cases right on top of their data layer. Her philosophy is basically, hey, if it's just about accessing data easily, we don't need a vendor for that. We're just going to build it ourselves.
And that brings us right back to the scenario you opened this deep dive with. David V. Kimball analyzed this and noted that this shift is creating a hypertail of custom-built software.
Yes. He specifically talked about generative software.
Right, the five-minute software.
Explain how that actually works in practice, like day-to-day.
So let's say your marketing ops team needs to merge a highly specific list of webinar attendees with a historical list of churned accounts to create a custom retargeting segment.
Okay, super common request.
In the old days, you'd have to buy an expensive data orchestration tool or submit an IT ticket that takes, like, 3 weeks.
Or just give up and do it manually in Excel for 10 hours.
Exactly. But now an AI agent writes a custom Python script, executes the data merge perfectly on your unified beta layer, gives you the segment, and then immediately deletes the script.
Because the software doesn't need to exist permanently. It just needs to solve the immediate problem right then and there.
Exactly.
I mean, if everyone is buying the exact same 30 commercial SaaS products, no one has a competitive edge. The hypertail is where you build operational speed that your competitors literally cannot buy.
Right. It's custom to you.
But, okay, if the data foundation is now this flat unified layer mm-hmm. and we have custom software popping in and out of existence, who is actually running the day-to-day marketing?
Well, we are shifting from AI being a simple generate content button to AI becoming the actual orchestration layer. Naveen Bansal highlighted a recent Gartner prediction that I think is pretty wild.
Oh, what do they predict?
Gartner says that by 2028, 60% of brands will be using agentic AI. They are essentially signaling the death of traditional channel-based marketing.
Wait, by channel-based marketing, you mean having like a dedicated manager for LinkedIn ads, a different manager for Google search,
yeah.
and someone else running email automation?
Exactly. Instead of humans manually adjusting bids and A/B testing copy in isolated silos, AI agents will manage the budget, the creative iteration, the targeting, and the bidding simultaneously across all channels.
Just optimizing for a single revenue target.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
It does. Jorge Cunha took this a step further. He noted that AI agents are expected to orchestrate $1 trillion in B2C revenue by 2030.
Okay, wait. If I let an AI agent run my entire budget and dynamically change my creative across channels 24/7 without waiting for my Monday morning dashboard review,
yeah.
I mean, how does a B2B team not lose total control of the brand?
Well, that anxiety you're feeling right now, that is the defining tension of this new era.
I'm stressed just thinking about it.
But the major platforms recognize this, and they are pivoting their entire architectures to address it. Charmy G shared that Salesforce isn't just releasing a quick update to Marketing Cloud. They are completely rebuilding it from the ground up specifically to handle the governance of the agentic AI era.
And Katja Keesum noted a similar massive move by Adobe, right? They just released an MCP server for Marketo Engage.
Yes, the Model Context Protocol server. This is a very crucial development.
Okay, let's translate that for the listener. What does an MCP server actually do? Is it basically a secure translation layer between my private Marketo data and an AI?
That is precisely what it is, because if you want an AI agent to analyze your Marketo data and suggest campaign optimizations, you can't just upload your proprietary customer list to a public model like ChatGPT.
No, your legal team would have a heart attack.
Exactly. So an MCP server allows a model like Claude to securely query your Marketo instance, understand the context of your campaigns, and take actions without ever absorbing your private data into its public training set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it basically turns Marketo into an open, secure platform for custom AI agents.
You know, if we are tearing down these walls and letting AI agents touch our core data securely, my immediate thought is that this changes the entire dynamic of the buyer-seller relationship.
Oh, totally.
Because if vendors are opening up their systems to AI, the buyers are doing the exact same thing on their end, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And this might be the most challenging reality for marketers to accept right now. The AI isn't just sitting on the vendor side of the table anymore.
Right.
Darnit Harvin-Murray pointed this out brilliantly. He noted that B2B buyers are actively using tools like Claude, Perplexity, and ChatGPT to explore categories, compare providers, read through documentation, and build shortlists.
And they are doing all of this before a sales team even knows an opportunity exists.
Exactly. Gartner actually projects that by 2028, 90% of B2B buying will be AI agent intermediated.
Wait, so if my agentic AI is doing the marketing, and their agentic AI is doing the buying, are we just setting up a giant bot-to-bot chat room?
Basically, yes.
But how does a B2B brand actually prove its expertise to a machine? A bot doesn't care if my brand video has high production value or a great soundtrack.
And you've hit on the exact paradigm shift. Clean data is the prerequisite, but the new battleground is a concept called algorithmic legibility.
Algorithmic legibility.
Yeah, for decades, marketing has been about influencing human psychology through emotion, color, and narrative. But an AI agent evaluates you based on structure, logic, and verifiable outcomes.
So if your brand's expertise and your customer outcomes aren't structured in a way that an AI agent can read and trust, you simply won't make the shortlist.
Exactly.
So algorithmic legibility is basically like SEO, but instead of optimizing a single blog post for Google's search crawler, you are optimizing your entire company's operational reality for an AI buyer's agent.
That is the perfect way to think about it. If your pricing is obfuscated, or if your case studies are locked in unstructured PDFs, or if your technical documentation is behind a lead capture form, the buyer's AI cannot read it.
It just hits a wall.
Right. It will simply recommend the competitor whose data is fully legible and accessible.
That is terrifying. If you aren't structured correctly, you are totally invisible to the primary research engine of your buyer.
Yeah.
But that brings up a massive issue. Because to optimize for algorithms and manage our own autonomous agents, we need intense internal discipline. How do we keep our own AI agents from going completely off the rails or leaking our data?
Well, John Miller had a really great perspective on this. He argues that traditional marketing automation platforms need to evolve into what he calls decisioning services.
Decisioning services. What does that actually look like in practice?
It acts as the ultimate governance layer. So if you have an AI agent orchestrating campaigns, it needs context. The decisioning service holds the operational rules, the email frequency limits, the specific brand voice guidelines, and all the compliance guardrails.
Okay, so it gives the AI boundaries.
Exactly. Because without that context, an AI agent might recognize that a specific, very aggressive email subject line gets a 40% open rate and just blast it to your entire enterprise account list.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's a technically correct optimization, but a strategically disastrous error. The decisioning service keeps the AI aligned with the actual business reality.
I love how Clark Barron illustrated the current chaos around this. He wrote this hilarious April Fool's post on LinkedIn from the perspective of a company's MarTech stack, basically confessing its sins.
Oh, I saw that. It was too real.
It was. The stack basically says, hey, you contracted with 6 vendors, but I actually secretly invited 25 unauthorized vendors through various tag managers.
Yeah.
And by the way, because you blindly clicked approve on the terms of service, all your competitors who use me can now see your sale pipeline. It's written as satire, but every marketer reading it felt a cold sweat.
Because it hits incredibly close to home. The security implications of this autonomous era are just monumental. Shashi Belamkonda highlighted this exact threat vector by analyzing Wiz's recent launch of specialized AI security agents.
Wiz, the cloud security company.
Right. Wiz recognized that human security teams cannot move fast enough to govern AI. So they deployed a red agent, a green agent, and a blue agent.
Wait, what are those agents actually doing in practice? Are they just monitoring server logs?
No, they're entirely proactive. The red agent actively probes your AI applications just like a malicious hacker would. It runs thousands of prompt injection attacks trying to break your own system.
Wow.
And when it finds a vulnerability, the green agent traces the risk and literally writes the code to fix it. Meanwhile, the blue agent investigates live threats on the network.
So you have AI agents proactively hacking and patching your AI system prompts before human attackers can even exploit them.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means the role of a B2B marketer is fundamentally changing. You can no longer afford to just be the creative in the room. You have to act like an enterprise architect. You have to understand data security. And honestly, you have to be a savvy internal politician to get any of this implemented.
You absolutely do, because the biggest bottleneck to this entire transformation isn't the technology, it's the organization itself. Yogita Wadhwa articulated this beautifully when she brought up the concept of the shadow veto.
Oh man, Every marketing director knows the pain of the shadow veto.
It's brutal.
It's when you finally get a yes and the budget is approved by your CMO, only to watch the initiative bleed to death over 8 months in an IT security review.
Precisely. Yogita points out that getting leadership approval is only 20% of the work. The project almost never gets officially canceled by leadership.
No, they never say no.
Exactly. Instead, it gets killed by a silent no. IT raises an 8-week data privacy concern. The data engineering team quietly deprioritizes your API integration because it's not on their sprint board. Legal drags their feet on vendor compliance.
Right. Approval and actual enablement are two very different things.
Very different.
So if you are a marketing leader trying to build this composable AI-driven architecture, how do you actually overcome the shadow veto?
Well, by pre-wiring your internal blockers. If IT, legal, or the data team are seeing your initiative for the first time after the CMO has approved it, you have already lost.
You have to bring them in early.
Yes. The complexity of managing these internal stakeholders alongside the collapsing tech stack is exactly why Ken Madsen argues that the chief marketing technologist role is now absolutely essential.
A chief marketing technologist.
Yeah. You need a dedicated executive whose sole job is to architect this entire system of systems and navigate the internal politics of data governance.
Okay, so we've covered the grand architecture, the bot-to-bot buying journeys, the intense security governance, and the internal politics. But let's bring this back down to practical reality, because at the end of the day, you still have a pipeline target to hit this quarter. How do the best B2B teams actually drive revenue with these systems today?
It starts with a fundamental shift in how they measure success. Franz Reimersma noted that we are moving into an era of attribution 2.0.
What does that look like?
Well, we are finally shifting away from these petty dashboard turf wars over whether marketing or sales gets credit for a lead.
Think of this.
I know, right? Instead, attribution is evolving into a decision support system focused purely on tracking overarching revenue and customer margin.
That is a much healthier way to look at it. And speaking of healthy approaches to operations, I love the hack that Phil Gamache and Jenna Kellner suggested.
Oh, so smart.
They advise marketers to completely stop complaining to executive leadership about tech debt. Because leadership tunes that phrase out. It sounds like an IT problem.
Right.
Instead, reframe it entirely to leadership as revenue readiness. If you say, hey, we need to clear this CRM sync issue so we can launch our targeted sales campaigns twice as fast and hit our Q3 revenue milestone suddenly, leadership cares deeply about fixing the technical problem.
It is brilliant internal positioning. And once you have that revenue readiness and a clean data architecture, the execution playbooks become incredibly powerful. Bill Stathopoulos shared a fantastic, highly practical example of this.
Oh, the outbound system.
Yes. He broke down a 6-step outbound system that drove a company from zero to $3 million in annual recurring revenue.
Walk us through the mechanics of that. How do they use AI to scale from zero to 3 million?
So they didn't reinvent outbound. They just supercharged the mechanics with AI and data. First, they stacked intent signals. They didn't just look at who visited the website. They combined website visits with recent job changes and social media engagement.
Okay.
Then they routed all that raw data through Claude Code to automatically run qualification logic. The AI tiered every single account into tier 1, 2, or 3 instantly.
Which means the sales team isn't wasting hours researching unqualified leads.
Exactly. Tier 1 accounts received highly personalized multi-channel outreach. Tier 3 accounts received higher volume, automated outreach that was still relevant.
Right.
And here is the kicker. When a Tier 1 account replied, a Slack alert fired instantly so an account executive could respond within minutes, capitalizing on the immediate engagement.
That is surgical execution. But we also have to talk about inbound and paid media, because Justin Rowe pointed out a hard truth about LinkedIn ads.
We did.
He cited Sam Dunning's strategy, noting that paid ads on LinkedIn work best purely as an amplification mechanism for an already strong organic foundation.
Yeah, you cannot just buy a new audience with ads if you haven't done the hard work of building an organic presence first.
Exactly. If your organic presence is empty, you're just paying a premium to make awkward, ignored, cold introductions at scale.
That organic work is the non-negotiable foundation. Michelle Lieben provided an incredible breakdown of Lemlist's $42 million ARR funnel that proves this exact point.
The Lemlist numbers are crazy.
They really are. 10% of their entire team posts organically on LinkedIn. That collective organic effort drives 2 million website visits.
I really want to unpack why that works, because right. It's not just about getting impressions. If you think about the modern B2B buyer, They are overwhelmed with automated cold emails and generic ads. When 10% of Lendless' team is posting authentic organic content, they are building human trust at scale.
And how do they capture that trust? By removing all friction. From those 2 million visits, they capture 200,000 free trials.
200,000.
Yeah. No credit card required, easy in-app booking, and a perfectly smooth self-serve process.
Because if Lendless put a massive lead capture form or, you know, a mandatory 45-minute discovery call on the way, the trust they built on LinkedIn would instantly decay.
Oh, it would be gone in a second.
The frictionless trial captures the trust immediately. It is not about having the most expensive ad budget or the most complex software stack. The teams that are winning are the ones combining a unified data architecture with relentless, disciplined execution playbooks.
Simplification, openness, and operating discipline. That is the formula for the third age of MarTech.
Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. We've talked extensively about this massive shift. We are moving to a world where AI agents are orchestrating the marketing and AI agents are conducting the buying research.
Mm-hmm.
If the algorithms are talking to the algorithms and the software is writing itself to execute tasks in the background, will the most valuable B2B marketing asset of the future simply be undeniable, in-person, human proof? Mm-hmm. The live event, the handshake, the unscripted conversation, basically the one thing an AI fundamentally cannot fake.
Wow. Yeah, it raises a profound question about the rising premium on physical human connection in a digital-first world. It's a balance every B2B leader needs to be strategizing for right now.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, AI and B2B marketing, go-to-market, and social selling. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. And don't forget to hit subscribe. We will catch you on the next one.